Heavenly Father, as we're about to face a brand new year, we realize, Lord, we all have decisions to make. Decisions that aren't just made at the beginning of each new year, but decisions that we should make at the beginning of each new day. Decisions to put you first in every area of our lives, with our time, our abilities, and our money. Help us realize, Lord, that putting you first is what you've called us to do, and everything else in this life will fall into place. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are at the end of another year and about to begin another. New Year is the time when many people think about what has happened over the past year. Some give thanks to the Lord, some don't. Some people think about the good times, the promotions, the good health, the additions that they've had to their family. But there are those who can only reflect upon the pain of losing someone that they love, the pain of losing their health, or the pain that is within their souls for one reason or another. It can be good, but it can also be hard looking at the past. But New Year's is also a time to look ahead. It's a time that many people plan or dream of what they will do in the coming year and what they need to do to get to where they want to be at the end of next year. Some people approach this with a lot of optimism, while others face these prospects with fear. But the reality is that no matter how well we plan our future, none of us is in control of our future. We may feel secure in our situations right now, but no one knows where the journey of life will bring us in the next year. For some of us, this could be our last year. For some of us, it could be a year of hardship. Or this year could be a year of amazing blessings. None of us knows, only God does. And I guess that's why the old saying states that God laughs when we make our plans. In fact, the Lord tells us time and time again in the Bible not to be looking too far into the future, because only He holds the future and our future in His hands. Jesus knew that people like to plan their own lives, and He also knew that many times planning our lives is futile. He knew that it either ended up with our hopes being dashed or that we would be consumed with worry, hoping that all of our plans would work out the way that we want them to. Jesus doesn't want that to happen because Jesus cares for us. And He loves us more than we could even love ourselves. That's why, between His journey from the manger to the cross, Jesus spent His time teaching us practical kingdom principles so that we can live a life of victory and a life that will prepare us for eternity. In our scripture reading this morning, Jesus was teaching the crowds and us too about how to face the future and how to live our lives in a way that will truly count in this life and in the life to come. He wanted to show us what we should be focusing on today and as we face a new year. Jesus knows all about how we think. That's because Jesus was fully human. And being fully human meant that His life wasn't an easy one. As you know, He was born in complete poverty and humility. His first home was a cattle stall which only offered protection from the elements outside. It wasn't long before there were those who wanted to take His life. So Jesus became an exile from His own land. He became a refugee in a foreign country until it was safe to return. He grew up in a carpenter's shop, likely learning the carpenter's trade from his father, Joseph. But we never hear about Joseph after Jesus was 12 years of age. Many believe that Joseph died when Jesus was still young, requiring Jesus to become the man of the house at an early age. Jesus' life wasn't easy. And yet His first years on earth weren't nearly as difficult as His last. being human, Jesus knew the pains, the hardships, and the struggles that life can bring from a human perspective. This alone gives him the ability to know how we think and how we have to face the struggles of life. But Jesus was also fully God. He knows how our hearts and minds work because he is the one that created us. And so here was Jesus teaching the crowds on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee that day about how to live for today and for tomorrow. How to live life without fear, and what we should really be focusing on so that we can truly live our lives God's way. Jesus began by saying that we should not store up for ourselves treasures here on earth. All of us have treasures, whether we are rich or whether we are poor. All of us have resources because the Lord has provided for all of us. Jesus here wasn't talking to those who were wealthy and had lots of treasures and great worldly value. He was talking to ordinary people, people with ordinary jobs, and people without jobs, people like you and people like me. He knew that people have a tendency to focus only on the things of this life, a life that is over so quickly when compared to eternity. He knew that people like to take their incomes and spend it on earthly things, or store what they have acquired in earthly institutions. He knew that it is our tendency to try and give ourselves a false sense of security by building up wealth and filling our lives with things that give us a false sense of security and happiness. But he said that this was a bad idea for two reasons. First, when we store our treasures on earthly things, they can be lost. Jesus said that when we focus our resources on the things of this life, then moths and vermin destroy and thieves can break in and steal. We may think that we can get around that problem by using mothballs and storing our money in the Royal Bank, but that's not the point that Jesus was making. He was saying that temporal things are just that. Temporal. We may think our treasures are secure in RRSPs or in an insured bank. We may think that our careers are secure, but there is no guarantee. The history of this world has shown us that markets go up and down, markets grow and markets crash. Nothing in this world is secure, especially the world in which we live in today. Nothing is safe. Nothing is secure in this earthly kingdom. But you know what? You and I belong to another kingdom. As Christians, we are citizens of God's kingdom. And that is where Jesus tells us that we need to store our treasures. We may think that what the Lord gives us is for us and us alone, but we would be wrong. God has blessed you and me so that we can be blessings to those around us. We aren't called to store things away for ourselves and buy ourselves the latest toys and the latest gizmos. The resources that God has given us are to be used by us for his work in this world. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." As I explained to the pastors in Haiti, God does not want us to be containers, collecting things just for ourselves. We're not called to be buckets being filled up for our own pleasures, because water sitting in buckets goes stagnant. Instead, the Lord has called us. He expects us to be water pipes, channeling God's blessings to others and to his kingdom work. It is only when we use our God-given resources for God's work that we are storing up our treasures in heaven, where we will have access to them for all of eternity. The second reason that Jesus told us not to store up our riches here on earth is because God knows and we will know where our hearts are by where we spend our money. When we are focusing our energy, our resources, and our time on eternal and godly things, our hearts will be on heavenly things. But if we are focusing our energies, our resources, and our time on earthly things, then our hearts will be focused only on earthly things. And when that is the case, worry and fear usually rule our hearts as well. Where our focus is, where we spend our money, shows where our hearts are, and it will affect how we live our lives. And it will affect our eternal destiny as well. In verse 22, Jesus said, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" We use our eyes to look at things. But here Jesus is talking about the eyes of our hearts and what our hearts focus on. When we only focus on the things of this earth, even though it is our culture to focus on temporal and worldly things, there will be darkness in our hearts. But when we focus on the things of God, the things that bring real and true life, both here and for eternity, our hearts will then be filled with God's light. And in verse 24, Jesus made the point quite clear. There is no middle ground. Either we will serve ourselves, our own desires, or we will serve God and His desires. As Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." That really goes against the wisdom of this world. But you and I won't be in this world forever. Eternity awaits us all. So today we have to decide, who will we serve? We may think that all there is to life is to get new promotions, make more money, make better investments, have all the toys and all the comforts that this world can offer. But that is really the recipe for eternal disaster. Many, many people in the world today are on one quest and one quest alone, even people who come to church. And that is to get ahead financially and to have the best of everything. Many even give their children the best that this world has to offer, but tragically neglect the greatest and the best thing of all, helping them to know Jesus and to focus on the eternal things of God. As Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 36, "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, yet lose your very soul?" So many people have been deceived into worshiping the God of this world. That's why all of us have to ask ourselves a serious question: who is our God? And that is not something that we answer just with our minds and with our mouths. It is a question that we answer by how we live our lives. The truth is that whatever you love the most, serve most, seek most, give to the most, worship the most, and care about the most in this life, that is your God. Your God can be your career, your bank account, the way that you look, a particular position or a degree, influence, power, or physical pleasure. It can even be something that is intrinsically good, yet you allow it to dominate your life more than God, such as your marriage or your family. Your God is whatever you allow to control you, to be the ultimate guide to decision-making, the place of your supreme loyalty, and the source of your self-worth. The truth is that if we want to face the new year in a way that will lead us to eternal life, we have to decide where our treasure is, where our hearts are, what we focus on, and who our true God is. If we don't make that decision at the beginning of the new year, We can't expect to live the next year in God's blessing and in God's will, either personally or as a congregation. As Jesus said, our money, how we view it and how we use it, will determine where our hearts truly are. The Blessed Life is a book written by Robert Morris. In it, he talks about a crucial weed that chokes out the truth of God, the teachings of God, the Word of God in our lives. And that weed or that thorny vine is called mammon, which is the love of money, which supersedes our love for Jesus. It's a real weed, and it's always trying to take root in the soil of our hearts where faith is trying to grow. It grows quickly. And if allowed to keep growing, we'll choke out the spiritual truths of Jesus. You may remember John Milton's epic poem called Paradise Lost, which painted a pretty detailed portrait of hell. In it, Milton showed Satan as a fallen commander in chief, surrounded by his demon generals. Among them are Moloch, Dagon, Astarte, Osiris, and Belial. Each of these, of course, was a god of the idol-worshipping culture in ancient times and mentioned in the Bible. But in Milton's poem, there's a depiction of another demon standing at Satan's side, and that demon's name is Mammon. You may recognize Mammon as a New Testament word. Jesus mentions it a couple times. It's used in our passage today. Jesus declared, "You can't serve two masters. You can either hate one or you will love the other, or be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." After reading this verse, you can see why Milton would lump a demon named Mammon in with those Old Testament idols. Jesus clearly suggests that it is possible to serve mammon instead of serving God, but he goes even further. Jesus states that it is impossible to serve both at the same time. He says you will either love one and hate the other, or you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. According to Jesus, there is no middle ground, no half and half. Mammon is a jealous god, but just what is mammon? Mammon is an Aramaic word that essentially means riches. In the biblical sense of the word, mammon is the spirit that rests on money. Did you know that all money has a spirit that rests on it? It either has the spirit of God on it or the spirit of mammon. Money that is submitted to God and his purposes has the spirit of God on it, which is why our tithes and our offerings multiplies and they cannot be devoured by the devourer. I'm truly convinced that money that has been submitted to God, wealth that is devoted to serving him rather than trying to replace him, is blessed by God. In a very real sense, God's Spirit blesses it. On the other hand, money that is not submitted to God has the spirit of mammon on it by default. That's why so many people in the world today try to use money to control or to manipulate other people. It's why people are deceived into thinking that money can bring happiness and fulfillment, but it never does. Instead, its lure will draw us further and further away from our Maker, until at the end of this life, when we stand in eternity, we will have nothing at all. God is our provider. Even if you think you got your money through all your hard work, remember that it is God who gave you life, gave you the strength, and gave you the ability to do all that hard work. Even though you earned it, your money is ultimately a blessing from God. And the only way that we can take the resources that God has given us and turn them into heavenly treasure and to have God's blessing on it is to give it back to him in our tithes and our offerings. The only way to break the curse that money holds is to use it for God-given purposes, for God's kingdom work and for his glory. If you and I can learn to put God first when it comes to our money, everything else in our lives will fall into place. Because where we place our resources is the place where our hearts truly are. We don't give to God because God needs our money. Everything belongs to Him. But He has called you and He has called me to be the channel of His blessings to the dark world around us. That's why we can't store up riches for ourselves. The world around us needs to hear about Jesus more now than ever. The world needs godly resources more now than ever. And God wants to use you and me to be the conduits of His blessings. The reality is that when we choose to be a blessing to others by giving into God's kingdom, we are truly the ones who will be blessed. Not just in physical ways, but in spiritual ways as well. It's like the story of a tax collector who asked an old man to declare his wealth, who had financially given to the work of the Lord over his lifetime. The old man said, "I don't have much in this world, but I have a mansion in heaven, everlasting life, peace that passes all understanding, joy unspeakable, divine love that never fails, and a crown of life." This old man knew where his true treasure was, and he spent his God-given resources accordingly. But we may say and ask ourselves, if I give what I have to the Lord's work, what about me? How will I survive? Who will look after me? Well, Jesus said, "Don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs." And then Jesus gives us the key to it all by saying, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything that you need." Does this mean that we can't use our money to buy nice things? No. Does it mean that we can't have fun and go on vacations? No. But it does mean that we need to put God and the things of God first in our lives, beginning with our finances. This morning, we all have the opportunity to ask ourselves, what are we going to focus on in the upcoming year? And there really are only two choices: our own things, which are the things of the world, or the things of God. It's a big decision, a decision that many of you have perhaps already made, but it's a decision that we all have to remake every day. It is only then, when we store our treasures in heaven, when we focus on the things of God, when we serve God and Him alone, then we can face tomorrow without fear. It is only then that we can truly know within our hearts that God will take care of us and that we will have treasure awaiting for us in heaven when our time on this earth is done. Let us pray.